We'll call the regular meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors for Thursday, March 2nd, 2023 to order. Please join me for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have a roll call, please?
Director Forkroy.
I'm here.
Director Gatchell. Director Womack.
Present.
Vice President Ohilski. President Cessna.
I'm here. So with that, we will adjourn to closed session, anticipated litigation. You can read the government code conference with district council regarding anticipated litigation regarding to the Vista de Oro incident. We'll be back in 1 hour.
We have to take public comment first.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Laura. public comment for this agenda item.
There's none online.
And none in the rooms. Thank you. Thank you. So we will go ahead and reconvene to open session. And could we have a report out of closed session, please, Mr. Brown?
No action was taken in closed session.
Thank you, Ty. Report.
It's a different color. I'm green.
As soon as I said that. I'm twisted. It's been a rough couple months.
Chuck, I'm going to interrupt real quick.
Yes, Laura, what do you have?
Marshall is attending remotely via AB 2449. And so I just need to make sure the three members in the boardroom are okay with that.
Do we have any problems with Marshall attending remotely due to, according to AB 2449?
I do not.
No. Okay. Well, we need his vote tonight. I do not either. Thank you, Laura.
Okay. I'm here.
Thank you, Marshall. Okay. With that, we'll go on to agenda item 6, general action items, the funding strategy for the Cabrillo Stormwater Basin Emergency Repairs.
Great. Thank you very much. If you recall, back at our last board meeting, we went through some strategies. At the end of the discussion, the board took up the recommendations that came out of the finance committee that we move forward with the interfund loan from funds 301 and 500, that we start with fund 500 and backfill with funds from 301 as needed, that I was supposed to come back with a loan payment schedule, interest information, cash flow analysis, and a resolution to approve. And then also that we approved using reserves, fund 800 reserves for any emergency repairs as well. So with that, I'll just step you through kind of each of those things in the third bullet so we can get down to the final kind of strategy that we're looking for approval tonight. Started off, I wanted to give you the revised estimates. As I've told you, the emergency repairs, which is on the next slide, they've been changing, but we're pretty much confident about the numbers that we have right now. And there's two pieces to this, because some will be FEMA, potentially FEMA reimbursable, and some will not. The neighborhood assistance, that is not going to be reimbursable. So, you know, we've spent close to $40,000 there, and we still have money going out up there on the roll-off services and some other expenses that we've agreed to pay for. The interim response, which is what we have up at the basin right now to retain water during these intermittent rains we've been having, we're fairly confident that's just a little over about $102,000 for a total of about $141,000. Previously, we had stated that it's about $124,500. So it went up slightly. For the revised estimate for the emergency repairs, this actually went down, though we're starting to get more things that we need to add in. So this number is going to change some, but I don't think significantly. We're looking at about $576,000. I think with what I've seen this week, this could go up about $20,000 to $30,000. So we'll be around the $600,000 mark when this is done, all said and done, I believe. Before, we didn't have any attorney fees. Talking with our counsel, Mr. Green, we estimated high here, I hope, but we wanted to have a number in the mix. So we put in $50,000 to have something, a placeholder for that, those expenses. So as it stands right now, as I said, this is about, I think it'll be, I mean, I was gonna say 800,000 by the time we finish. Right now I'm looking at, in this analysis, $776,000. Now to look at kind of the cash flow and what we have in the Fund 800, which for folks that don't know what that is our drainage fund. Right now we have in cash, this is in our checking account for drainage, we have about $433,000. Then we have reserves in LAIF at about $241,000. So we're at the $674,000 mark with money in the drainage fund. The next thing we had to kind of look at, what's the cash flow in normal times for Fund 800. Revenues come in at about $135,000. There's a couple of property tax monies that come in into it and some other minor monies that come in. Then we looked at operational expenses under normal conditions. And the last few years, it's been hovering right around that $71,000 mark. And the difference of that is $64,150. And that's an important number to keep in mind as we get towards the end of this, because that could be the source of paying the debt service on any loan that we agree to. What I'm proposing that we keep in the drainage fund is 2 years of operating cash. That'd be the $142,000 and some reserves, $65,000. Now, these numbers aren't set in stone. It's just the best estimation I can give you from my perspective. And so there, you know, we could go higher or lower on those, but about $207,000. So getting into the loan itself, since we were going to start with Fund 500, if you recall, I showed you what reserve accounts I thought Fund 500 would be best to use. The Water Quality Trust, the Basin Management Reserve, the Water Conservation Reserve, all three of those basically we haven't touched at all for years. And then we have our contingency reserve. So if you look at what the current balances are versus the proposed, we're pretty much going to use the water quality, the Basin Management and Conservation Reserves up. And then the balance for the $300,000 would come out of the contingency reserve, which is at $99,200. And just in case we need extra money and we would go over to Fund 301 and we would use the replacement reserve for vehicles and equipment. As you can see, it has about $1.2 million. And we haven't had to use this. We bought our fire truck with cash. We just bought a utility truck with cash. And so this fund is available if we need it in the future. So the terms, and this is something, you know, I did some research on to find out what we should include in our resolution for the terms of the loan. And of course, that's gonna be from Fund 100 to 800, and we're not gonna exceed 300,000 at this point in time. The term of the interfund loan is a max of 5 years. Then that debt service, as you can see, is right at $64,000. So it's a little below what we estimate the differences between operational cash and what we bring in, and that the repayment source will be generated from those property taxes that go to Fund 800. The interest rate at this point, we have set at 2.5%, which is quarter to date interest rate of LAIF, which is our highest interest rate we receive right now for Fund 500. But what we'll do is adjust that annually so that it's not stagnant. As that interest rate goes up or down, we will adjust it annually to match what that LAIF quarterly interest rate is in March. The loan may be amended, modified, or terminated by the board of directors by resolution. If we want to exceed that $300,000, it will take a board action. And just from the accounting standpoint, that it will be recorded according to guidelines established in GASB statement number 34. So with that, I can answer any questions.
So what are the parts that we think are going to be FEMA reimbursable?
The parts would be the emergency repair. I can go back there. We think that this part, both I can talk, that the $575,861 and the $100,705.
Okay.
And though those won't be 100% reimbursable, mm-hmm. if done everything correct, we'll get 75% of that.
Okay.
And of the remaining 25%, if we've done everything right, the state will pick up, I think, 50% of that. So it can get down to, you know, probably around we'll pay 10%-ish, something like that at the bottom end of the day.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have to charge interest on the loan?
Yes.
Okay. But basically, we're looking at a large $900,000 repair and only needing a $300,000 loan.
Yeah, at this point, you know, I'm pretty optimistic it's not going to be much more than what I'm estimating here.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
Can you hear me, Chuck?
Yes, Marshall.
I'm stepping in for Chris here. When this did go to the FAC on Monday, the committee member that was there was supportive of this, so I just wanted to put that out there for you all.
Okay, good. Thank you. We appreciate that review. Unfortunately, neighborhood assistance just doesn't matter to FEMA, I guess.
Well, it's interesting. It's funny. It's their guidelines. When the debris was removed, there are stringent guidelines on how that has to be monitored by an on-site monitor, things going into the roll-offs, what was in the soil that we removed, and that monitor actually has to follow it to the landfill. And it would have probably cost us more than that for a monitor.
I'm just glad nobody got hurt during that first week. So yeah, okay, we'll let that go. Do we have any public comment on this item, agenda item 6?
If you are in the boardroom and would like to make a comment, please come to the podium. If you are online, please raise your hand. No online comment.
Okay, and I don't see any here in the boardroom. So with that, I will entertain a motion.
I move that the board adopt resolution 2023-15 approving an interfund loan to Fund 800 for the emergency Cabrillo stormwater basin repairs.
I'll second.
Okay, and with that, we'll need a roll call vote since this is a resolution.
Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
Director Gatchell? Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
President Cessna?
Yes. Okay, that passed. And with that, we'll move on to agenda item 7, public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you would like to make a comment and you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. If you're online, please raise your hand.
Paper, scissors, back there.
Oh, can you turn that on? To your left side.
Oh,
thank you.
Cleverly disguised as the on-off switch. We're going to see how that works. Thank you. My name is Andrea Luker. I'm a 35-year resident of Los Osos, actually the great town of Los Osos. The Los Osos Emergency Coalition is a group of Los Osos residents representing a variety of local nonprofit groups and service clubs. The purpose of the coalition is to continue the great work that was done the first few weeks of January after the rains, and keeping track of the needs of the affected residents and offers of help from others, and matching those as we can to ensure that the affected residents are helped in every possible way. I'm here tonight to give a huge thank you to the incredible efforts of a number of people that worked over the last 3 weeks to put together the Digging Deep event on Sunday. Fortunately, I missed it. I was out of town, but I've heard a lot of great reports. I've seen a lot of great pictures, and we are nudging up towards the 50,000 K mark for fundraising. So more to come on that. We definitely want to thank everyone that showed up and donated and participated and helped out, but we wanted to also do a couple of special thanks tonight. Thank you to Richard Margetson of People Helping People. He worked tirelessly arranging all aspects of the silent auction and managing the financial donations. And he's continuing to manage those financial donations, and we still are looking for monetary donations. Thanks to Chuck Sasena, also of People Helping People. He secured all the beer and wine donations. And then according to the stories, he made multiple trips to the various grocery stores to replenish supplies due to the overwhelming levels of hunger and thirst at the event.
Yes, yes.
Thank you to Paul Irving for being the mastermind with the bands and scheduling some incredible music, and his enthusiasm. Can't miss that. Thank you to our local service clubs and nonprofits such as Rotary of Los Osos, Kiwanis Club of Los Osos, People Helping People, Los Osos Cares, and the Los Osos Community Advisory Council. Let's also note that Rotary and Kiwanis provided the food. Certainly thank you to the South Bay Community Center for the great venue. And thanks to our numerous sponsors who were absolute integral part of this event. Because I only have 3 minutes, the list is way too long for me to run through all those, but I would really encourage you to go to Support Los Osos Facebook page or supportlososos.com, and they're all listed there. And then when you see those people, you can go visit those businesses. Finally, there's still work to do, and that's really important. There is still help that's needed. It's needed now, it's going to be needed in the future. So we're asking you to please contact losososec@gmail.com with needs or offers of help, or to leave a message at 805-540-1539. Monetary donations, as I said, are still needed. They're accepted through People Helping People, and they can be mailed to PO Box 6221 in Los Osos. Thank you, and great job, Los Osos.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Yes, Victoria Conant Weir. I just wanted to also express my thanks to Gary Freiberg, who put in a lot of effort in organizing the Digging Deep. In fact, I think he was the one who came up with the idea originally, but I just wanted to make sure he got mentioned.
It was quite an event. Quite an event.
Richard Margetson, just briefly, I want to follow up on what Andrea said. All those mentions were appropriate. As far as People Helping People is concerned, Elaine Watson, Chuck Cribbs, and Selena Zupko manning the beer and wine ticket table did not sit down for 6.5 hours. And we figured out, did the calculation, over 1,100 pours were purchased and paid for. The beer and wine table was averaging 3 pours every minute. That's how fast ticket sales and disbursement of alcoholic beverages was happening. Also, just want to follow up on Chuck running to the stores. As the day went on and more people kept filling the parking lots and the streets and the library and the church and all down the road, his parking place, after he came back to drop something off, kept getting further and further and further away. At one point, he parked here on 9th Street. What was the farthest? The Chinese restaurant?
The market.
Yeah, the market. was the closest parking place.
It's easier than dealing with the signal to get across Los Osos Valley Road.
And then from what I understand through Chuck, a big thank you also has to go out to Troy from the board, because I think he was integral in helping Chuck convince other distributors and bar owners, and that he can probably tell you more about that in getting, but Troy was big part of that, and I thanked him at the event, but I wanted to thank him publicly here tonight too. So we're over 40,000. I think we're probably going to be over 45, you know, see what's still coming in. A couple checks came in the mail today. We'll probably have a total early next week. Some things haven't shut down yet with Paul Irving's site and stuff, but we'll probably have a total early next week. And then we got the hard work of deciding where it goes. In my final 45 seconds, I just want to tell the board, until the decisions have been made on that money, People Helping People has been distributing since the beginning from what we put up and what we procured through donations and stuff. Everything that's gone out in the form of checks and stuff has been from our organization. I just want to say that I dispersed 5 checks yesterday, and one person told me something that I thought you needed to hear. They said, Richard, the check is great, needed, appreciated. But on top of that, just as equally important is that this community cared, and they continued to care after the disaster was over. And I think that's a testament to this community.
Thank you. When you see silent auction items with $100 market value and the opening bid is $300, then the community cares. That was some, we dug deep. That was some pretty fun day. Sorry you missed it, Andrea. Okay, if there's no other public comment for items not on the agenda, we will move on to the administrative and committee reports, starting with the fire department report.
Chief Province is out sick, so he will not be here tonight. He did supply us with a hard copy of his report, and we can, I think there are some in the back of the room for folks that are interested in seeing what the totals were for this last month.
Okay, with that, we'll move on to the Sheriff's Department report. Do we have someone online for that?
Sergeant Coyes, are you there?
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, good evening, everyone. Elliot Coyes, Sergeant with Sheriff's Coast Station, Los Osos. And for the month of February, looks like we had 71 calls, which is up from 62 the year prior. 9 of those calls were assault or batteries, 30 disturbance calls, 2 burglaries, 5 thefts, 1 vandalism, 2 mail thefts, 1 phone scam resulting in a loss, 27 suspicious circumstances, 91 enforcement stops, and 35 preventative patrol activity, which could be foot patrol, things of that nature. And with that, any questions?
Anything from the board? Okay, no questions tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys, take care.
Okay, we'll move on to the California Highway Patrol report.
Hey guys, Jason Grimm here, Lieutenant with CHP. Audio okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great, perfect. Thanks for having me. We have 4 items to report. The first will be a DUI traffic collision, and that was a solo vehicle into a bush on the 26th at about 7 a.m., and that was at Pecho Valley Road and Nokomis Court. We had a 2-vehicle minor injury traffic collision on the 10th. It was at 9.05 a.m., and that happened at 10th and Los Olivos. We had another 2-vehicle minor injury traffic collision on the 17th at 4:12 p.m., and that was at 9th Street at San Luis Avenue. And the final was a 2-vehicle minor injury traffic collision on the 21st, 3:29 p.m. LOVR at Foothill. That was all we had for the month.
Any questions from the board? Okay. Thank you very much for that. With that, we'll move on to the Utilities Department report.
That one is in a written only, though I do to recap those a little bit. Water use is very far down. If you go back to the very start of the report, which is encouraging, it's showing us how much our outdoor water use, because it was 44.2 gallons per person per day. That's pretty darn low, especially when they estimate out of the treatment plant using wastewater flows and population at about 38-39 gallons per person per day. So anyway, it's getting closer on kind of getting down to that estimation. The only other thing on utilities I'd like to point out, and it is on the consent agenda tonight, is going out to bid for the water transmission main project for the program Seawell. We're excited to keep that project moving along. So this is another very complicated part of the project. Crossing Los Osos Valley Road is going to be quite an exercise. So that'll close, the bids will close at the end of March. So we're hoping to be in construction by late April. Moving on to my report, I just have a couple of things. Just a little brief update on the Fire Station 15 building condition assessment. We had a great meeting looking at the preliminary draft of the assessment. It was kind of this broad base from all the consultant team that was there on everything and that the station will need. The consultant's going to take it back, hone it down, and we should see a kind of a final draft mid-March, and I'm hoping for a presentation to the board in April on that report. And then finally, we had another significant rain event, though most people probably slept through it because it was a couple of downpours early in the morning on February 24th. But I wanted to commend Nate Paul. He's our water crew leader. He came in about 8 o'clock that Thursday night, was up all night, worked all the next day because we were having drainage issues from those downpours. I got a call about 3 a.m. that it looked like we were going to spill onto Pecho Valley Road. So we were out there looking to see if we needed to close the road. But anyway, I wanted to definitely recognize Nate for his effort that evening. And with that, I can answer any questions.
So do you think the reduction in water use is landscaping? Can you, not needing to water your lawn, can you tell that that's what it is?
Pretty much, that's it.
That's good. And thank you to Nate Paul. That's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work, especially having to work his 8-hour shift the next day.
Yeah, the nature of these storms, very intense when it does rain. And that's a problem for the basin. You know, when it gets full and there's a whole lot of water coming in, you've got to be there monitoring and getting that pump going. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure appreciate the crew and appreciate your calling attention to that.
Your diligence.
No, this is a monitoring. It's a constant middle of the night downpour. You've got to be ready for this situation. Thank you. Okay, do we have a Chamber of Commerce report? Okay, maybe not tonight. Community Advisory Council. I know we've got a written report here. Christine, you
went to written that, and you? Verbal? I thought we just did written.
The written is fine. Everybody can read that if anyone have questions about the LOCAC report.
I think people are very concerned about the garbage rate increase. You know, understandably. Let's see, I can't even find my own report. I think they voted for something and I can't recall what it was. But that's what I remember the most is concern over garbage rates.
And I want to thank Laura mentioning that. She sent an email to someone on Nextdoor, I think it was, that was the most complete explanation of what is happening. I didn't realize that we had a temporary retroactive portion of this increase that's going to be here for a year, And then it goes away. And
it's not even a year. It's to the end of this year.
End of this year.
It goes in April 1st.
Okay. Okay. But her explanation of that was the most detailed and thorough to someone that I had seen. It opened my eyes to it all. So Laura, thank you for always being there, even though you're way over there.
Good job with outreach.
Yeah, no, it did. The community appreciated it. Everybody just, okay, now I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand it better. And it was that way for me too. Let's see. Did you have anything further on LOCAC you wanted to?
Sorry, I wasn't prepared. So, but no, let me.
Yeah, that's a very thorough report. I appreciate that.
I try to just have people's comments. I thought that's mm-hmm. the most interesting.
Mm-hmm. You know, to know what's on people's mind. Parks and Recreation, we did not have a meeting this month. Utilities, Matthew, you chaired that. Anything you want to say about that? I took the month off at home with Mr. COVID.
Yeah, the majority of what we talked about, we've covered again and again about the Cabrillo Basin. That was the...
Yeah, that's what I remember.
The most pressing issue that you did.
It is, and it's going to be. Okay, the Finance Advisory Committee meeting.
So I think the committee recommended approval of the warrant register and recommended we receive and file the financial reports and recommended approval of the interfund loan to fund 800, which we already voted on. That's pretty much what they did.
Okay, thank you. Emergency services. We did have a committee meeting. Marshall?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. Yeah, we had a meeting. We only meet quarterly, but I think that, as Ron mentioned, the big discussion point really was the condition and the analysis that was done on the existing firehouse and how surprised everybody was that it wasn't going to be a teardown and that the consultant was going to come up with three options for our consideration, the board's consideration in the future as to how to proceed forward. And the rest of it was basically an update. There was a very interesting thing about the way that the fire department is changing their reporting now. And it's A, very, very visual, and B, there's a comparison between all of the various departments in the county. So we're able to see, you know, they're giving us this service and we're using, you know, it happened 100 times last month. And in Cambria, it happened, you know, 200 times or whatever. So it's a nice visual to be able to compare how we relate to the other districts. And Ron, did I miss anything that you might want to add to that?
No, I think that's about it. We did cover mid-year budget adjustments with them and just some other general housekeeping things.
But I heard you say that the station's not a teardown?
Correct. It's in reasonable shape. So to elaborate a little bit more, Marshall mentioned that the consultant is going to give us options on if we just go in and do cleanup, you know, upgrades to electrical, HVAC, you know, those types of things, what that would cost. If we want to invest a little bit more money, make it more functional, there'll be a mid-cost mm-hmm. range. And then if we want to add on, because there's a lot of temporary storage, C-trains and things,
right?
If we want to make sure everything's properly housed, there'll be a higher cost.
Okay, but we've got options and yes. We can work with the existing structure.
Yes.
That's good. Okay.
Great news.
Basin Management Committee meeting report.
Yes. Me again.
It was kind of got interesting at the end.
Yes. Yeah, Chuck. So in that meeting, what I had previously decided to do that if I was not going to be serving as president an additional year, and I was hoping that Mark would take that over as vice chair, that I was going to step down from the committee to allow some new blood to step in to give, because I had been there from the beginning and I was there during the bankruptcy representing the district and, you know, all the way back till, you know, ever. So I wanted to step away so we could have some new blood in it. So what we did was we elected Mark to be the chair or the president. And then we deferred the election of the other three officers until after the Los Osos board president had the option to appoint who was going to not only take my place, but whether Chuck would remain as the alternate or he would move up into my place or whatever. So we deferred that pending what was going to happen with the appointments that Chuck's going to make. I think it's the next agenda item, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So anyway, I have decided to resign from the committee. So that's where we are. The rest of the meeting went relatively quickly. It was just running through an update on the various items, and there was nothing really significant for the discussions in this particular meeting. But the most important thing was my resignation and the deferral of the election of the other three officers other than the chair. So I think that right. was pretty okay. clear.
Thank you, Marshall. So Mark will be the president for the next year. And I guess we can move on to agenda item 8M and look at the appointment of the district's representative and the alternate to the Basin Management Committee. I'm willing to go ahead and take that spot, Marshall. We'd need an alternate. Are there any thoughts on the board about who that should be?
I think Matthew would be a good choice if he can make it. I know it's in the middle of the day.
Yeah, that's, well, I definitely can't be there all the time.
I wouldn't expect that.
But as an alternate on an occasional basis, yes, I can make the BMC.
Well, not only that, Matthew, that you could, get updated on what happened during the meetings, you know, so you wouldn't have to be physically present for all of them, but, you know, you'd, as long as you were able to keep your ear to the ground and make sure you were up to speed on what was going on. But I think you would be a good choice too. So I'm very, very supportive of Chuck taking over for me and you taking over for Chuck.
Is that a motion?
I think that appointment is just by
you. Go ahead.
You have the power.
Oh,
yeah.
You have the power.
Yeah, that's your Chuck. Power to choose to appoint.
Okay.
I will make a motion, Chuck, that you do that. How's that?
No, we'll go ahead and make that change. We'll just go ahead and do that.
And then what I'll have to do, I have to write a formal, or we have to send a formal letter to the BMC. So I'll draft that up, right. And we'll get it over to Dan Heimo as soon as possible.
I don't think it's a surprise for them, but speaking of the BMC, I'm really looking forward to monitoring results this next spring. I just hiked up Black Hill today, and I have never seen seeps coming out of the ground like we have right now. Trail was wet, wet, wet. I know it only rained 2 days ago, but typically that's enough to dry a seep up. And I've seen there's water coming out of the ground that I have never seen before. We are saturated.
I want to take a second and just thank Marshall. Thank you for your years of service on the BMC. Yeah. I really appreciate where you've helped lead the community over the years. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's been a long time. Thank you, Marshall.
I appreciate it. Thank you both.
Okay. Agenda item 8N, director's announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Anybody been anywhere interesting?
More of a National Estuary Program.
What was that about the NEP?
We had our quarterly meeting. Unfortunately, neither myself nor Christine was able to make it, but I was able to talk to Anne and go over the minutes of the meeting and talk to a couple of the board members, and in order to get unanimous approval of the updated work program for EPA, I did vote yes on the work program. So we got unanimous approval for our work program, which is going to EPA, and hopefully will get funded in the next year.
Thank you. And I guess I want to mention the news that, as the board's representative on CAPSLO, I want to talk about the fact that Oklahoma, Kansas Avenue, that safe parking site will be closing. And who knows what the future means. I know that everyone there will be assisted with case management, with any kind of assistance that is required to get them into a stable situation. It's not a matter of closing the place and saying you're on the street. It is a continuation of services provided for the people that are there, but new entries are not going to be allowed. And so I don't know what that means for the future. CAPSLO had presented a plan to the county for management going into the future, but it was not something that I think the county was ready to take on. That was kind of an open-ended case management, housing situation. It was just not, there were too many different competing interests, I think, there. And the answers are very varied. They're going to be tiny homes. There's going to be safe parking spots. There's going to be all kinds of answers in the future, but that wasn't it. And so that's closing. And I ask everyone's patience, because we don't know where that's going to go in the future, but just stay tuned. And this will be an issue that we're going to be talking about.
Chuck, can I ask a question about that? Because I'm concerned about this. So is the sheriff going to actively keep track of what's going on Palisades, or is Palisades going to go back to what it was before?
Well, I don't think that's... we're going to have to wait and see. I'm sure the sheriff is prepared to engage as they have in the past. We just don't know. Hopefully, things aren't going to go back to where they were here, because that's just not manageable. It's not tenable. It wasn't safe. It wasn't good for the people living there.
Right.
As well as the community. So I just don't know what's going to be happening. I do know that the people that are at the site now will continue to get care and hopefully transition to a safe place. But they're not going to be accepting new people coming in.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, this is a big concern, but, you know, I guess we'll just have to see what happens.
No, there's going to be, more discussion, safe parking spaces here locally. Where do we go? The issue isn't over, that's for sure. Okay. Response to previously asked questions. Do we have any of that?
We do not.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so now we'll go on to agenda item 9, public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. Anything anyone want to pull from the consent agenda first? No, I think we need to move ahead with these things. Okay, public comment for these items.
If you are in the boardroom and would like to make a comment, please come to the podium. And if you're online, please raise your hand. There is no one online.
Okay, and I don't see any public comment here in the boardroom. So with that, I will entertain a motion to approve the, accept and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I was waiting a second for Marshall. It's usually his motion, but I'll move that we file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
You want to third that, Marshall?
I just did okay. Matthew say receive and file, or did you just say file?
Receive and file.
Okay, see, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. If I was there in person, I obviously would have made the motion, but I figured remotely it was a little difficult.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
I think there's a resolution, right?
The consent agendas. Yes, we do have resolutions. Thank you. We'll need a roll call.
Yep, there's two resolutions.
Director Forkroy.
Yes.
Director Gatchell. Director Womack.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
President Cessna.
Yes. Okay, we had no pulled consent items. Future agenda items. Anything out of the normal that anyone wants to? I think agenda is going to be pretty full.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future. Enough things. Yeah, I think so. Okay, closing board comments.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you to the district staff for keeping everything safe, especially in that last storm. And I'm just glad it's our current mode of operation is working. And thank you for getting us to an emergency repair quickly.
Great job on the Digging Deep event. I stopped by. It was packed. And so I want to thank everybody that helped make that happen.
It was pretty awesome. I'm sure we had 1,000 people there, and it seemed like everyone had fun. The silent auction was good. Everything was good, except for the reason for having it. And I would like to echo Matthew's thoughts. Our staff has been incredible for the past years, but the past couple months have been an extraordinary ask. I don't like to get up at 3 a.m. for any reason, much less to go check on a rain-filled basin. Thank you.
Go hang out in the rain.
Yeah, it sounds so fun.
My wife went up one Saturday night with me. It's kind of date night.
Yeah. That was what you used for Valentine's Day, I know. Hey, I would like to thank staff for all their hard work. I think, it's not something that they just pulled out of a hat, but it's something that they're learned how to work in, you know, all kind of modes and habits. So, I mean, it's not something that they've just learned, but it's the way I think that Ron's restructured our CSD in order to be able to address these items on an emergency basis. So I want to give Ron and staff a pat on the back for all the work that they've done that got us to this point where we were able to quickly respond to this kind of stuff. And then secondly, unfortunately, I was out of town also, so I was unable to go to the event Saturday, but I did make a donation to the silent auction. So I did make a contribution, but I apologize for not being able to be there.
It was still a full house. Okay. I think it's easier to work hard when you appreciate who you're working for. So thank you. And with that, we will adjourn this meeting. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.